Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
204 DGS and KMOX. Happy day off if you guys are off or working from home. In the first hour, this is great. We had Chinese today, and we just, you know, shared it family style, as DGS does. And there was like half of a General Tso's chicken left, and just put it out there. There's a little place in the kitchen here at Odyssey where you put all of your leftovers and people eat them. And Rach came back to the office. She's like, I just heard Chris and Amy busting on us without them knowing who put that out there. And then we get on the show, and Amy's like, let me tell you about some friggin' losers, which she should have done the math because we're the only ones here. And so I went to the
bathroom. And continued on even after we said, yes, that was us.
Well, she was I loved that because she was committed. Mm-hmm. And I called her out on it like, you realize you're trying to make the case of the people who did this. But there's no turning back at that point. So I went to the bathroom, and I took a picture of it on my way. We just posted it. So you can roast us or them or whatever you want to do. But it's out there. Where is it?
It's on the Dave Glover Show Facebook page.
I didn't know we had that.
I'm so stupid. I'm like, it's on the counter, Dave.
Yeah. It's in the kitchen.
In the kitchen. Remember, you saw it.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, yeah, it's in the kitchen right over there by the garbage.
I said to Dave, I was like, is it still out there after he just took a picture and gave it to me?
Yeah, we're not making our
we're
case.
All no, stupid.
We're not making our case.
We're all dumb.
We're all like, derp.
Yeah, if I were
maybe
them,
Amy's right.
If I were them, I would have thought the same thing.
All right, I'm taking the photo down. Never mind.
I would have totally gone back to her and the officer been like, get this.
Can you believe?
Some loser thought we'd want to eat this. Okay, this is where we do sports. Sports.
And smart stuff.
Hold on, never mind, I don't. I thought I had a little drop for that, but I guess
I don't. Oh, no, we do. Hang on, sorry. I didn't put that.
Well, it's too late now.
Hang on.
It's never too late for a drop.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. Ba! Right there at the top.
Excellent. How are sports?
So, I thought I had a really interesting thing to say to you, Wheels, and I don't.
Okay.
Because what I was going to say is I didn't get to watch any television yesterday because of the fine folks at AT&T. But I saw some of the highlights when I got here, and in the Bengals game, I guess it was very close, and then a guy took a bad penalty at the end, and as they're going back into the tunnel, his teammate was like, this is my last year, F you, why did you touch him, all this stuff. And my point was going to be, boy, it's no longer enough. The sports are not enough. We need human drama, but we've always had that. And Ty Cobb spiking people and Broadway Joe, you know,
making his guarantee
victory
and
all that. So, but tell me about this drama.
All right. So, first of all, it was a really entertaining game yesterday. It was a lot of fun between the Chiefs and the Bengals. The Bengals had beaten the Chiefs three times in a row, so there was a lot of like stuff in Cincinnati, like they own the Chiefs, right? So they were calling Arrowhead Stadium Burrowhead Stadium after Joe Burrow. The mayor of Cincinnati suggested that they needed to have Burrow submit to a paternity test to see if he's Patrick Mahomes' dad. Like, it was, I mean, first of all, mayors shouldn't be talking crap on behalf of the athletes that are performing on the field, because now they're calling him, by the way, the Kansas City folks are calling him Mayor Jabroni. Because the Chiefs, I forget, I think it was it Kelsey that said that? He called the mayor a jabroni after the game. But Mayor Jabroni should probably not be betting with other people's money, right? Like, it's really easy for you to make the jokes and talk crap when they're not going to knock the crap out of you for doing it. You know, they're going to be beating up on them because even after the game, the Chiefs players were admitting that a lot of that talk really pissed them off. And it was part of what, I don't know, I wrestle with this. I wonder what you guys think about this. Because I wrestle with this whole bulletin board material stuff. Like, I get that, and I think it's real, like, in a regular season game where it's one of 17 games and all that. Do you really think that matters in a game that could send you to the Super Bowl? Like, if you need that for a little extra when a chance to go win a championship is on the line, I'm a little worried about you.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure I buy that. But anyway, they got their payback.
Lunch.
Yeah.
And now just, you know, it's not like I have a lot of friends who are mayors, but if I do, they're no longer my friends. I think that mayors are that perfect level of leadership where they get over their skis, get a little high on their own supply, like, oh, you're the mayor of Cincinnati. Who cares? You know, you see what I'm saying? Like, they feel like they have all this power, and I'm going to bet the mayor there, and you're going to have toasted raviolis. I've always hated that. Just a couple of douchers, you know?
You know, if you're in the really big cities, you might actually have more power than some senators. You know, in some
of the more sparse.
No. I agreed with you at lunch because I agree in general. It's like, okay, listen, you're on a city, okay? And most mayors probably don't have a great approval rating with people. I mean, I've not lived in too many places where people are like, I love the mayor. They're amazing. They're always doing the right thing. It's always split. It's always, you're always getting criticized by somebody. And I think that's a good point. Like, I think that is, you're like middle management, and sometimes you're feeling a little bit more like you're upper management when you're really not.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So, okay, the Super Bowl set, and it will be when?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah. So not this coming Sunday, but the Sunday after
that.
And
it should be a good game.
It should be great. Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs, you get 2 weeks for Patrick Mahomes to get a little more rest and rehabilitation on his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep in mind, like, the Chiefs to win yesterday with Mahomes dealing with a high ankle sprain, which is really difficult to play through, super painful, limits your mobility. It's his back foot, which is where he generates the power. That's where your power comes from when you're a thrower, is your back foot, your backside. So he really was playing, you know, I don't want to say one-legged, but he was in pain the whole game. And they lost, like, three of their top receivers during the game to injuries.
Hmm.
So, I mean, they were playing bare bones at the end, and they still found a way to squeak it out. So they got 2 weeks to get healthier. And the Eagles have been a story all year, man. I mean, you know, they started off, they were the last team to lose a game.
I'm so out of it. Last time I checked, the Eagles sucked.
No, I mean, they've gone through this cycle, right? Like, they won the Super Bowl a few years back, and they went through a down cycle after that, fired the coach that won the Super Bowl, and now they're kind of back with a new guy, new young quarterback, all of that. And they've been awesome, man. I mean, like, they beat the living hell out of San Francisco in the championship game, the NFC championship game on Sunday. And some of that was, like, poor San Francisco. I should say poor, but yeah, I mean, like, they were down to their third quarterback, a rookie who was the last player taken in the draft, Mr. Irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And he actually had played great when he got in there throughout the year, but then he gets hurt in the first quarter. So they got down to basically their fourth quarterback of the year in the NFC Championship game, and they ended up getting blown out in part because of that, and also because Philly is just really good. And there was a fight at the end of that game, too. That was pretty wild. That game got a little chippy at the end. Yeah,
that was
a real fight.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody is going to end up being suspended for the Super Bowl out of all of that, but there was definitely some tension going on there.
I just thought it was the dumbest thing. I mean, I get emotions take over, but whenever football players in full pads and helmets start taking swings, I'm like, that's kind
of
dumb.
There are a lot of dumb things that happen in sports fights. Like, when you watch, every one of them is different. Like, hockey fights generally are like normal, real-looking fights, right? Because the guys that fight have done it.
Yeah.
You don't get too many guys in the NHL that are going to fight if they don't typically do it. You see it occasionally. It's kind of funny because they usually fall down and it's over really fast. But in basketball, you see a lot of fights where it's mostly just people like talking and taking swings from a really long distance. And then everybody's like milling around and some are backing up and then some are doing the fake like hold me back thing. Even though nobody's holding them back, they're pretending that they're being held back. Football fights are the most insane because everybody's fine and fighting. They're all fighters. They're all tough. But, like, yeah, you're going to punch people in their helmet. You're going to, you know, you got shoulder pads. Yeah. You're going to get yourself hurt
and
just throwing the punch.
30 seconds, they're going to blow a whistle and you get to do it real.
Right. Then you get to hit them for real, like within the rules. And then the baseball fights, it's like 50 people come running out there and there's like three people actually interested in fighting and everybody else is hugging
it
out.
I'm sure there have been worse fights, but the worst one I've ever seen was the one where Yachty got kicked in the head.
Oh, yeah, that was Jason LaRue.
Yeah.
That got kicked in the head. Ended his career.
Okay.
Ended his career. He never played another game after that.
That's the worst I even remembered.
Yeah, that was Johnny Cueto. It was the Reds thing. Back, you know, the Cardinals and the Reds during that time had a real rivalry. Like, Dusty Baker and Tony La Russa didn't get along. And I mean, on the field, I'm sure off the field, they're fine. But like, they had a real rivalry on there. That was right. That was about the time when Brandon Phillips, remember when Brandon Phillips had, I think he had referred to the Cardinals as a bunch of B words. And then he came and it was like, he was acting like he was just kidding. And he kind of tapped Yachty on the shin guards.
Yes.
And Molina was like, yeah, we're not having any of that, buddy. And he started, and the whole thing started, the benches cleared. Yes. And that was a real fight. That wasn't just dudes like holding each other and saying, okay, we're just not going to get suspended. Let's just hang out here. There were people legitimately fighting in there. And Cueto was the one that threw the kick that got LaRue in the head, concussion. And he had other concussions too. And it ended his career. Never played again. It was brutal. Pretty brutal. But yeah, baseball fights typically are not that, but there have been some, boy, where they are just going at it.
Yeah.
And it's not as common anymore because, well, they're more sensible about it. Plus, they get more suspensions now.
Mm-hmm.
Hate to lose those paychecks. Other quick thing I didn't mention. I know I mentioned last week that the beat writer for the Braves in Atlanta for the Athletic had reported that Chip Carey was coming to the Cardinals.
Yes.
They made that official today.
Okay.
So the Cardinals posted it on Twitter maybe 20 minutes ago that he's coming to Bally Sports Midwest. So Cardinals get a veteran broadcaster who was born and raised here, who is a huge Blues fan, and from the accounts that I've been told, has always been a huge Cardinal fan, but could never let on because he was broadcasting the Cubs and the Braves for all these years.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not a great idea to be the Cubs broadcaster and professing your ever loving your never ending love for the rival to the South. So he's heading here, and
I'm not sure whether you'll
new
find
TV voice.
This an interesting take at all, but it interested me. You know, I've been doing this 23 years. I'm a veteran. I'm a bit long in the tooth, right? And yet they keep paying me. I have another contract coming up. I think we're going to get it done. And so I relate to people like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, who've been doing it for a really long time. But Rodgers is talking about wanting $50 million a season.
Mm-hmm.
Brady, who the hell knows?
Yep.
Not even to be like Moneyball or something about it. I wouldn't pay these guys five for both of them. Like, I just think that one of the biggest mistakes sports teams can make is overpaying a guy whose best season was 3 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And in general, that is 100% true. In football, sometimes that 80% of that guy is better than any other option. Huh. At quarterback. Like, every other position on the field, don't do it. Don't do it. But like, you remember Peyton Manning with the Denver Broncos? He had neck surgery. He could barely move. He could barely throw. He could barely walk. But they won a Super Bowl because his brain was that good, because he could read the defenses. I will say this, though. I think that there's more for Rodgers, more left for him than with Brady.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I would
physically.
Think so too.
Like, physically. Like, people are evaluating Rodgers' season this year and ignoring the fact that he had a hand injury most of the year. And when you have a hand injury, it's pretty hard to throw a football. And throw it the way that you normally would. And they had a pretty weak receiver core around him, too. He gets into a spot where they've got a couple of weapons and he gets an offseason of being healthy, he'll be fine. Brady, though, seems to be, now he's not done. He's still better than a lot of guys, but he's not what he used to be.
Rodgers also seems like a complete jerk.
Oh, my God.
And he doesn't talk to anyone in his family.
Nope.
And, you know, does that matter at all? Like, if you can
play. Not if you're winning.
Yeah, if you can play and you can win games, can you be a complete jerk to everyone around you?
Yeah. If you're on a team that if you're 12-4 and you're going to the playoffs, nobody cares. The minute you're a 6-win team, though, everybody wants you gone. Nobody wants to put up with that nonsense when you're not winning. But
do the players care?
Let's
say they're having a great season, they're winning, whatever, but he is just an absolute, you know, jerk to not just, you know, the people around him, but like the staff, the players, all that stuff. Do the players even care? Or as long as they're winning, are they just like, whatever, man, you do you?
They care in the sense that, like, on a human level, you don't like the person, right? Like, if you're somebody on your team you don't like, that sucks and it's annoying and it's every day. But when you're winning, you look at it in two ways. One, I mean, everybody's goal is to win the Super Bowl. So if it's somebody that's helping you do that, this is why a lot of jerks around the league keep getting chance after chance after chance. Because if you're good and you're helping the team win, everybody's okay with that. And the other part of it is, you know, the rising seas raise all boats. You know, I mean, like, the team is good. You're getting a reputation for being on a winner. Your free agent status may improve as that team gets more opportunities
to
show.
Playing college ball at Alabama as opposed to Northwestern.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you're always going to be in the spotlight. You're always going to have a chance to make a run in the postseason. And you can make, you know, a lot of guys will look at it like, if he's my quarterback, I might end up being able to make a little more money. in the next couple of years if we're winning and I get to do something special in a playoff game or, hey, playing with that guy instead of catching 80 balls last year, I got 110 this year. That's a difference in tens of millions of dollars in some cases.
224 DGS and KMOX. Every day at this time, we check in with the newsroom, see what they're working on. Michael Calhoun is in. Hello, Michael.
Happy Monday.
Yeah, you too. What do you guys got going on?
Well, this has just kind of come in. Post-Dispatch had this first settlement when it comes to the several dozen people that sued after the Stockley protests and the kettling. That's a police a tactic that happened on Washington Avenue. The city agrees to pay $4.91 million. That's $58,500 per person to 84 people who were downtown and who were caught up in that and as police arrested everybody in that area.
So I don't know what that is, what kettling is.
So that's where police kind of block the whole group in and then begin to march forward and close in on them. And then as they, you know, narrow that space, begin the arrests. And some people claimed that there were, you know, punches or kicks from police officers, part of this, chemicals that were used. But the kettling is where they basically surround and move in. And if you're still there, you're still there. You
gotcha.
Should have left already is the idea.
Man, that was one of the weirdest things ever. When that verdict came out, we were at 97.1. I don't even think we were in this building yet. And me and Rach and Andrew and Mark Close decided to walk across the street where it was going on. And it was just starting. Like, it was just starting. I think I was way more uncomfortable than you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, okay, close enough. And these two, the youngins, were like right in the middle. And then Mark Close was, I don't know, churning butter or something. but that was weird, man. That I was very tense.
Was this like 1 p.m. or like 10 p.m.?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, like 1 p.m. Like, okay. Honestly, it had just started. And I remember they had all these chairs set up. I think it's Soldiers Memorial because they were having like a big concert that night. And a bunch of the protesters were throwing them on the ground. Mm. Do you remember this? One of the protesters, was like, keep it peaceful. And he started setting the chairs up. And then this giant guy that was like the lead protester and the most angry was going to fight that guy because he wasn't being destructive enough. It was crazy.
Yeah, I got my steps in that day because we just went continuous coverage. I grabbed the microphone, went out on the street. And for like 3 hours, I'm like from the convention center to police headquarters to Union Station to 6440 to back downtown. And then later that night is, usually after dark is when these things really begin to, I mean, there were some, there was a lot that went on
sure was.
That week. Then we've got some better news for St. Louis that we're covering. There was a conversation this morning with Chris Goodson of Fields Foods, which is, we think of Schnucks and Deer Birds, Fields Foods and Straub's, also locally owned grocery stores. And Fields Foods has really focused on, if you're the kind of person who says, I want to live in the city, I want to walk out my door, I want to walk around the corner and go to the grocery store. If I wanted to, you know, get in the car, I'd live in the suburbs. And he said, we haven't had that option here. So folks who move in from Seattle or Chicago or wherever might not have the best impression of St. Louis. So he's a developer as well. This is the big new apartment building, the Expo at Forest Park. It's the one to the west side of Forest Park Avenue and it's got in DeBolivar, and it's got the Fields Foods in the ground floor. He says that 30 to 40% of the renters there say they don't need a parking spot because they intend to just go downstairs and get on Metrolink. And he likes to call these stores that he's opening in apartment buildings the shop in your pajamas experience.
Good for him.
Get on the elevator, go downstairs, get your bottle of wine and pizza, and go back upstairs.
This is how good things happen, is that people take chances and could go completely ass up, right? I mean, I wouldn't do that, even if I had a whole bunch of money. But I really respect and applaud people who do, because hopefully it works. But that's the only way we get these options.
Instead of just doing the same thing.
Same thing over and over.
Over and over. And in the same spots, different areas.
Yep, agreed.
And then we've got a warning from Airbnb. If you're a Chiefs fan, KMOX, home of the Chiefs, and you're looking to throw a Super Bowl party, Airbnb says if they find out, they're going to cancel your reservation.
Wow. I've never used Airbnb because I'm too stupid, but at this point, I don't think I ever would. Like, between being filmed and things, you know what I mean? Just like, it just, I don't know, just sounds bad. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, this is where we do our social media update. For the first time ever, we can update our social media.
So we put the photo up in the first hour. Maybe you heard Chris and Amy making fun of us for putting out our sesame chicken that we had at lunch that was served family style, people. It was not one person's plate. So totally sanitary. I remember there being more in the container whenever I set it out. So maybe somebody came by and had
some. Yeah, I think so.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for backing me up on that one.
I bet it was Amy.
It was. It was probably her. And then she was like, I'm going to rip them on
the air. That would make my life if I walked up there and Amy was sitting there eating a sesame chicken. So we put up the photo and it is a little pathetic looking. And I said, should we have just thrown it away? And we're getting mostly the answer that we should have thrown the sesame chicken in the trash.
Yeah. We should have wasted it instead of leaving it out in case somebody wanted
Wheels
it.
He's not giving it up.
I am never giving this up. If I were walking by that and I were hungry, I would totally have eaten it. I had already eaten a bunch, which is why I wasn't hungry anymore.
Yeah.
But, like, food is out there like that all the time.
Yeah.
How is it any different than having uneaten pizza sitting out there in a box?
That's my point, too. Like, it's just the presentation was a little different. I have walked out there.
We got to work on our plating is what we got to do. Yeah.
You might want to lower that a little bit.
I have walked out there.
The presentation.
I have seen a singular KFC biscuit sitting on a plate out there. And I'm like, who would put this out? But you know what? Fine. If that's what you want to do, somebody's going to eat it. And somebody does always end up eating it. So.
I love how we're celebrating our Hoosierness. Now the plating may have been off.
I don't think I've ever been in a workplace, though, where anybody's going to walk past free food that's been put out there and be like,
dude, we're in radio.
Yeah, I know. This is my point. It's even crazier in our business, but I've never been in any business where it's not going to get eaten.
So Corey on Facebook says, without the context of family-style serving, it legit looks like someone's leftover lunch they spooned into their mouth. That being said, I may or may not ask whose it was before making my decision.
There is a level of, like, I don't know, do you trust your coworkers or not?
Right.
Like, if I worked in a place where coworkers prank each other and do the things that I sometimes do to friends.
You mean here?
Yeah, no.
You mean working here in this office where
that
one person
happen.
Pranks everyone all the time?
Right, but that's only me. That's not everybody else.
But Kevin wouldn't do a gross prank.
No, I don't do that. No. And I wouldn't do anything to, like, the normies that are everywhere else around the building. I'm only picking on the rest of us in our side of the building.
I also think maybe part of the problem, maybe, I still maintain there's no problem. maybe part of the problem is that it's like an individual portion.
Yes.
And not like a big. So if it was like a big, like giant, like a catering serving tray filled with the dish, you might be like, oh, this is, they had like a meeting and this was what was left over. But like an individual portion, you're like, did you miss the trash can?
Does anyone agree with us?
A couple of people have.
They look like freaks from their.
A couple of very normal people have agreed with
Melissa
us.
Melissa agrees that maybe it's a plating issue. She says maybe push it together more or find a smaller container to make it look bigger. If someone is hungry, they will eat anything.
Yes.
Laura says, now you're making me hungry for Chinese food. Okay. I'm taking that as a win.
Yeah, yep. Sure.
Karen says, I need more information, which I'm taking that as a win as well. Yep. If she knew the whole story, she would be on our side. Yes, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Vic says, looks good to me. So thank you, Vic.
Yeah, boy, Vic.
Yeah.
Bethany, is that sesame chicken? Yum. Yep. And you can have some.
Although we did.
It's free, Bethany.
We did establish. Because we ordered General Tso's and sesame chicken.
Yep.
And we established that they were identical.
Yep.
Except they put sesame seeds on the General Tso's chicken.
Yep.
Which I'm fine with.
Yep.
Yep. They're really good. Both
of them. Think
yeah, I mean, it was really good, but they just like, yeah, they're the same thing.
Yeah. What else do we have on social media?
Ooh, what else do Anything? We have going on?
Yeah, I got a bunch. I got one that struck me over the weekend that I was shaking my head about. So the Associated Press tweeted, it was a few days ago, that they had deleted a tweet where they referred to French people as the French. And they said, we're sorry, we did not intend to offend. They said we shouldn't have written it that way. We should have written French citizens or the French people. But terms for people can sound dehumanizing and imply a monolith rather than diverse individuals. And I don't understand why they did that.
Yeah, I understand what they're saying. If you say, you know, the blacks, you know, the gays, I get it. But when you're saying the French.
A nationality,
yeah, the
right?
The French are not like a marginalized group.
Yeah. But it's also just a nationality.
Let's have a little nuance.
Yeah.
Can you say the Americans?
Yes. Or the Canadians?
Mm-hmm.
Or the British? Or what? I mean, like, this is like, I feel like that's just so regular.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so non. And how
else would you say it?
That's what I'm saying. So practically speaking, how is it different than saying French people, the French versus French people, or the French versus French citizens? When you're talking about an entire population, you are talking about a group of people, not a bunch of diverse individuals. You're talking about the group. So what difference does it make if you say the French or the Canadians or the Americans versus French people? I mean, we know we're talking about people, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we say the British, we're talking about British people. Why do we have to define that to make it? How is that? I don't get how it's offensive. Maybe it's grammatically improper or whatever, and that's fine. Nobody cares about that either. Just stunned me that was even a thing.
Yeah.
And then you apologized for it.
I wonder if any French people like reached out and that's why they came to the conclusion. Like, I don't know what they would have said, but maybe Kevin.
Yeah, I think they took it on the chin. On
yeah, but
one.
If somebody said the Americans, who would we care?
No.
I wouldn't care. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know an American.
We're not like, snowflakes like the French.
Surrender monkeys. Yeah, if you want us to get crappy about the French, we can get crappy about the French.
Yeah, oh, they
we call them freedom fries here, okay?
That's yeah. Right.
Well, they'll get crappy right back at us.
Oh, no one gets crappy like the French.
Yeah, yeah. They'll get right back at us like, yeah, you guys would still belong to King George if it weren't for us.
Oh, boy, I like stereotyping.
I feel like everywhere in the world could play that game, right?
Right.
Like anybody that's ever been an ally to another country in any way would be like, you know, they could always like lord it over each other. At some point, could we all just not do that? Mm. You know?
I rarely do.
Yeah. I do it all
that
the time.
That requires taking the high road.
It rarely comes up in my life.
Yeah. I need to be better at that.
Okay.
That's the social media update.
Nice audio. But yeah, wait, you had something?
Yeah, I was just going to, they talked about it a little bit in the news, but I feel very, very sad. A St. Louis native, her name's Annie Wershing. She was an actor. She died over the weekend. She was super young. She had cancer. She was 45 and she was in 24, but she also, there's this big burst of popularity with The Last of Us video game now that the show is out and it's very popular. And, that was originally going to be my social media update because everybody's talking about the third episode, but I know Dave has not seen it.
So don't talk about it. I haven't seen it either. Going to watch it tonight.
I don't want to spoil it for
you
anybody.
You could with me, but Wheels is very French when it comes
maybe,
to this.
Maybe for the thousands of people listening, forget. Too, we shan't spoil this episode that
Wheels
just aired last
like
night.
The French.
I will never forget.
There's this big burst in popularity, and it's very sad that she doesn't, you know, she won't get to enjoy that in the way that a lot of the other actors involved with the game will. And she was a St. Louis native, so rest in peace to Amy Wershing.
So I've watched the first two episodes of this, The Last of Us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. But I'm not, like, waiting with bated breath for the third one. And I think it may be because I never play video games. Like, I know that you can watch it and not be a gamer and be fine. Mm-hmm. It's a television show. But Nick kind of agreed with me. He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, there are lots of little Easter eggs.
Oh,
he's playing
my God,
it right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
And, like, Rach, I think you even said, like, the pacing
the
of it.
The way it moves so slow, it's almost like you're watching someone play a game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like I've never played this actual game. I've never played The Last of Us because it's only on PlayStation and I'm an Xbox. But those Easter eggs are there for gamers of any kind. You're like, oh, look at that. You're watching every scene. You're like, this is exactly how it plays out in any of these survival adventure games. You have to make these choices. Usually you have to overcome some big obstacle. Eventually you got to fight some monsters. You got to gather all the things that might be important later. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But it's also good. Like Pedro Pascal is just so good. Like, everything I've seen him in, he was great in Narcos. I didn't even know who he was when I first started watching Narcos, but he was fantastic in that. I think he's been great in The Mandalorian.
He's
hard to remember because he's always wearing the stupid mask. Obviously in this, I think he's really good. I'm a big fan.
I like him, too.
And he's handsome.
Oh, God.
Okay, Andrew.
Saying.
Way to make it weird.
I think he's handsome.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't even that he said it.
And then laugh like that.
I think he's handsome.
I think he's handsome.
I think I have the vapors.
Yeah, suddenly you're like one of the hillbillies that had a crush on Jeff.
Scarlett O'Hara.
I do declare.
I love that. You're going for the Clampets and she's going straight to
Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, she outolded me.
but it's just completely different versions of the South.
Rach is like, he's like Nosferatu in 1937. I don't want to like this song.
Wow.
I kind of can't help it.
Why do you not want to?
Because I liked Cool Van Halen. And to me, this isn't. Like, pretty much every rock band became most popular when they put out their worst songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Styx with Babe, and just you can go through a million of Mario, Speedwagon, and all that. And I loved, like, the first album, maybe the next two. I know that, like, Jump and Panama was when they were their most popular. But I don't know.
I always hated Jump. I still do. I don't like, I mean, hate relative. Like, I'm a Van Halen nerd. Like, I love Van Halen. But Van Halen with Dave is better than Van Hagar. But, like, you're right. That's the album where it started to change a little bit.
Although I really liked Van Hagar. I just had
It's just different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I
it's a different band.
A different band, completely. Poverty Meals seems weird to say in 2023 when it's in the show prep. People were asked about their favorite poverty meals. Like, what did you eat when you were poor? Which seems kind of weird because a lot of people are still poor and eating it. Any guesses?
Of the top things that people replied?
Yeah.
Hot dog. Ramen.
Number two.
Which one?
Saying it over another person.
Just keep saying it.
Well, because I didn't know he was going to say something right when I started saying hot dogs.
So, I mean, you're weirder than usual today.
Hot dog. Wheeler's like, saltine crackers. And Andrew's like, hot dog.
He's almost like the stadium vendor. Like, hot dog.
Hot dogs. Now, I will defer to my fast food sommelier here, because I see you eat these all the time. Number two is ramen. Number one is instant noodles. I thought those were the same thing.
So I would say instant noodles. What?
Well, Samalbek is at its best when from Argentina.
He did go right into sommelier mannerisms. Like, well.
Dude, I know this guy.
I would say instant noodles is like the cup noodles that you see me take that you just fill water to the line take. And then you eat.
I'll be taking my cup of noodles for lunch now.
I will take my ramen in the study, please.
But I would say that like the cup noodles are like instant noodles, whereas like the little packages that you have to like boil water in the pot. Okay.
Yeah.
This one got me. This one sounds like real. This sounds like South Roxana stuff. Pasta with white cottage cheese and caramelized onions topped with butter and salt.
That actually sounds like a fancy meal, like a pretty fancy poverty meal if you're caramelizing onions.
A lot of ingredients.
Yeah, a lot of, that's what I was going to say. When I think poverty meals, speaking from every night of my life, I think like very few ingredients, just like, you know.
Yeah, buttered noodles would fit.
Buttered noodles is exactly what I thought would be
number one. There's something called glop.
What's glop?
Glop.
Cream of mushroom soup, sliced green onion, cooked rice, and Lowry's garlic salt.
That sounds awesome.
Cream of mushroom soup and rice are like the two best things you can put together.
Then you got,
I love Lowry's. You put that on anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hot dog.
You're right.
I love Lowry's.
I like turtles.
Totino's pizza rolls, hamburger helper. These aren't poverty foods. These are just foods. cereal or oatmeal. Here, I love this one. Condiment sandwiches. Mayo on toast or mustard on toast or ketchup on white bread.
Never done any
no
of that.
Thanks.
Right?
Definitely have had my share of poverty meals. Don't remember doing that.
I'm surprised it's like boxed mac and cheese.
Number three.
Is it?
No, there you go.
Number three.
Notice that everything at the top is noodle adjacent.
But I also think, I agree with Dave. Like a lot of this stuff, like mac and cheese or hamburger helper or whatever, that's just food.
Just food.
Yeah. Like, poverty meals, you think it's like...
What was Trish Gazelle's thing with Hamburger Helper?
She doesn't like it.
She hates it.
But it helps your hamburger make a good meal.
And I think that was it. I think it was just she hates
yeah,
it.
She just doesn't like
and we
it.
Were like, what's wrong with you? Because it's incredible.
Dude, I'm telling you. When I came home from school, you don't have a menu. It's just you're a kid.
Oh.
But when I came home from school and I ran in and I smelled Hamburger Helper beef stroganoff...
Yes.
Break out the aperitifs.
It's one of the first things I learned to cook because it would be like my mom was in school whenever I was a teenager. And so sometimes she'd be like, can you make dinner for your brother? I'd be like, okay. So I'd follow the hamburger helper instructions and make like a
making dinner for Big
something.
Dave Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My mom used to make like a version of hamburger helper, but it was like her recipe.
Ooh.
It was just ground beef though. And then you make like gravy out of it. Like in the ground beef, and then you pour it over mashed potatoes is the greatest thing ever.
Yum.
I think that's just called cooking.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Mom was a good cook.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, I didn't think I'd say her name in the next 80 years, said that Freddie Prinze Jr. didn't watch a movie with her for 15 years. They're a couple because she spoiled the end of The Sixth Sense, which made me think about when we were out in Colorado last time, we were able to watch The Sixth Sense with Phoebe, who had no idea what it was about.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was fascinating. Fascinating because, you know, once you know what it's about, you go, how?
It's a different movie.
How did I not see it? And she's a smart kid, seen a lot of horror movies. All the way to the end, had no idea. I couldn't believe it.
Did she flip out?
She did. She was just like, oh my God. So
yeah. That is one of the better twists in a movie in my lifetime that I can think
of. Dude, when I watched Shutter Island, I watched it again immediately because I did not believe they had played it honestly. Like, there's no way I didn't see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick and I watched it twice in a row.
Wow.
And we're like, okay,
you
I don't
got think me. I've ever done that. Just turned around and watched the same movie over again.
Even with something adult?
That's a great idea. Oh, yeah. Back in the day.
Well, I think I'll start this over.
I got time.
Hot dogs. So handsome.
That was the weirdest segment ever.
I think he's handsome.
I can't tell if that's Southern Belle or
yeah, he was suddenly in a hoop dress.
Yeah. Or Appalachian, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!